Hello, I'm Richard Panik, an author and journalist who, to my surprise, and I swear I couldn't have imagined the career path when I was a young and hungry writer, but to my surprise, I've wound up writing 5 books about the biggest issues in the universe. I don't have a background in science, but as someone who has published both nonfiction and fiction, I do have a background in storytelling. And in writing Pillars of Creation, How the James Webb Space Telescope Unlocked the Secrets of the Cosmos, I found that one way to make sense of the many, many discoveries that we all hear about all the time is to keep in mind the first of the 5 key insights. Insight number 1, the James Webb Space Telescope is telling a story. It began observing the universe in July 2022. Since then, it's produced a wealth of data in such a quantity that it's easy to lose sight of a simple organizing principle. It's easy even for the scientists themselves to lose sight of it, the astronomers who have gained their own precious few minutes on the telescope. I've asked many of the top experts in cosmology to name some of the telescope's major contributions, not just to astronomy overall, but to their own very specific areas of specialization. And the answer I've heard again and again and again is, I wouldn't know where to begin. Fortunately, I do, at the beginning. Right from the start, from the first spitballing sessions in the 1980s and 1990s that would eventually lead to the launch pad in 2021, Webb was always going to be telling a story. That story was always part of its vision, part of its mission. And that story was, in a word, origins. The origin of the universe as we know it. The origin of our planet. The origin of our species. And Webb wasn't just going to be telling a story. It was going to be telling its story in 4 distinct parts. The parts corresponding to our next 4 book bite insights. Insight number 2, our solar system. In 1610, Galileo used a primitive version of what we would call a telescope to discover that Jupiter has moons. I'm tempted to say, who knew? The answer, of course, is nobody. But more to the point, who would even think to wonder if Jupiter has moons? Or for that matter, if Saturn has rings of all things? Or if other planets exist beyond the 5 we've always known, and no, make that 6, because after Galileo, we had to include Earth among that population. Or if those planets have their own moons and rings. Yes to planets, yes to moons, yes to rings. And those are some of the targets of Webb's investigations in our solar system. Specifically, astronomers want to know where the water is, the assumption being that water is a precondition for life. What Webb has found is that water is just about everywhere, and not just everywhere, but in quantities and locations nobody was expecting. Water is spouting through cracks in the icy surface of a moon of Saturn, a geyser reaching into space at least 10,000 kilometers, or 6,000 miles. But even more intriguing, maybe most intriguing, according to one solar system expert I interviewed for the book, is the presence of water in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, a neighborhood that astronomers had previously assumed to be too distant from the sun, and therefore too cold, to sustain liquid water. Yet it's there. Did asteroids bombarding the infant Earth billions of years ago bring with them the seeds of life? And what about other planetary systems out there? The second part of the story Webb is telling us. Insight 3, the stars and exoplanets in the rest of our galaxy. Astronomers in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries found that the more they looked, the deeper they looked into our galaxy, the more stars they found. And if those stars are like our own sun, and if our own sun hosts planets, then not until the 1990s did astronomers know for sure that some stars in the Milky Way galaxy do have planetary systems. Now astronomers are using Webb to ask whether those systems might, like our own, have water. Water if not everywhere, at least somewhere. But not just water. What about other properties that might portend the possibility of life? What about hydrogen and oxygen and carbon dioxide and on and on? Yes, 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 and on indeed, as Webb has found. Not that the presence of certain elements and compounds, including water, predetermines the emergence of life. And to be clear, not that life means sentient beings in possession of death rays or declarations of universal peace, but on a unicellular level, better yet, a multicellular level? Of course, our galaxy, whatever its prospects for life, is hardly alone. And what lies beyond our own galaxy is the third part of the story that Webb is telling us. Insight 4, other galaxies. No surprise that in the search for our origins, the solar system and Milky Way experts using Webb are looking for water. Not so some of the experts investigating the galaxies, the hundreds of billions of galaxies that crowd the cosmic landscape from here to the horizon as defined by the Hubble Space Telescope, which can see back to about a billion years after the Big Bang. How did those galaxies evolve? How did our galaxy get here? Over the past couple of generations or so, some theorists have suggested a secret ingredient, dust. We've known since the 1950s that, as Joni Mitchell sang a decade later, we are stardust. When some stars get old, they explode, shedding their elements into the universe. But they don't just spread the wealth, they enrich it. They make heavier and heavier elements. But over the past half century, astronomers have noticed that the universe seems to have too much dust, more dust than exploding stars or supernovae can account for. Can they? Can supernovae produce dust at such a rate that they actually affect the evolution of entire galaxies? Too soon to say for sure, but early results from Webb might just support that idea. Which brings us to the final stop on Webb's journey across space and, because the speed of light is finite, time. Insight 5, in the beginning. Webb can see farther than Hubble, but for astronomers, the question has been, how far? The first stars and supernovae and galaxies didn't form until 100 million or 200 million years after the Big Bang, or about 800 million years farther than Hubble can see. Can Webb see those sources of first light? It's trying, and it's getting closer and closer all the time. And it's finding surprises along the way. Webb has seen more galaxies than theory predicted. More mature galaxies, more black holes, galaxies seemingly too young to be so large and so bright. Black holes too massive, supernovae too numerous. And that's fine. That's what Webb was designed to do, to see those earliest objects and to find out if observations matched our expectations. To the extent that they don't, theorists will have to figure out why. And theorists are doing just that. They're challenging their assumptions, adjusting their expectations, and seeing if they can come up with models that make predictions to match what's actually out there. And in that sense, yes, Webb is telling a story. And that story is just beginning. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy Pillars of Creation.